because this is a work in progress. And so basically what I'm going to do is I'm practicing for meeting somebody in a couple weeks in Denver. And it's not, I'm not going to preach to him. I'm not going to preach to you. I'm just going to tell you what I'm going to tell him. And there probably is going to be some stumbling because it's a work in progress. But I'm going to pray first. Lord, I honor the name of Jesus.
Yes.
I honor the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. You are the everything. You are the perfect sacrifice. I acknowledge your headship. I acknowledge your supremacy. I acknowledge you are the source of Holy Spirit. Welcome. Come, have your way this morning, Lord. Stitch together my thoughts, the things that you've shown me in recent days to say to Eric, to speak to his heart, to bless him with as we visit. And let those words bless this house and
Amen.
People who sit here in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
You said it's a work in progress. I thought, man, so are we. This is perfect.
It's perfect. It's fit to purpose. So I'm going to tell you about my friendship with Mr. Eric Fisher.
Oh, another Eric.
I am one of three Erics that are, we don't actually all know each other, but I had a very good friend, Eric Athorpe, and more. And we were both model building, science fiction loving geeks. That was 6th, 7th, and 8th grades. And then we moved to Woodland Park, Colorado, and that was, it hurt. It was the first time, not the first time. All right, we moved, so my dad was Navy, we moved every year. I spent the first 13 years of my life in 13 different places, 13 different schools.
Wow.
Well, that's not true because I didn't go to the school the first 5 years of my life. But the move from Lemoore, where I was in 8th grade, to Woodland Park, where I entered the 9th grade, the 8th grade, was difficult for me, as it would be for any 13-year-old child, because at those ages, you're
right.
Doing this with
right.
Your close friends, right? And this hurt a lot. And I never really got over that. I discovered marijuana when I was 15 and started smoking it more and more frequently through high school. And it was a rocky path for me. My parents didn't understand why I was doing it. I didn't understand why I was doing it. It was just a way to push the dopamine button for me. And then when I was a senior, 2 weeks before graduation, the vice principal came and got me out of class and said, I want to check your locker for drugs. And so I got busted. Had pot at school. And during before the police came and picked me up, he asked me, do I want help? And to get him off my back, I said, sure, I want help. Well, that got me into a program. I actually did graduate. They let me graduate because I fulfilled all my requirements. Got into a program called Someplace Else. in Colorado Springs, and it was meetings every day for 3 months. And I met Eric Fisher at someplace else, and we became fast friends. We're both tall, both handsome, both muscular. And, we worked all summer at his parents' house, and then the next week at my parents' house, back and forth all week. And we would go to someplace else meetings every day. And at the end of that, we stayed in touch, but I would say we drifted apart, but we were growing up together. We were maturing together. We got sober together. He married first, had kids. I was much later. I was, I had found Jesus in Colorado Springs, was going to church, and then I moved to Kansas City to help my aunt and my grandparents, and then I went in the Navy. And so we lost track of each other for years until, I don't know, when was the big super bloom a couple of years ago in Death Valley? That was like 5 or 6 or 7 years ago.
That's right.
And his parents came through and they had my number. And they were driving through Death Valley and all around looking at all the flowers. And they called me and said, we'd like to come visit you. And I said, come on over, and we caught up. And so ever since then, I've been able, and I got Eric and Cindy's phone number. So Eric married Cindy, and they had a turbulent relationship. They were both recovering alcoholics, well, addicts. And they divorced about 3 years ago. And she died about a year ago. And very recently, I've been thinking about him all the time. And so I was praying for him, and I reached out by a text and asked how he was doing, and he said, not great. And I discovered there's something that he feels he's done that is unforgivable. I don't know what that thing is, and I really don't need to know what the thing is. The thing isn't important. What's important is forgiveness. And so I want to speak that over him when I see him. I'm going to go, just so that you know, all you know, I'm going to Kansas City the last 2 weeks of June. I'll be back probably, so I'll be gone over the 4th as well. There's 2 3-for-9s in a row. Well, you know, there's an intervening week, and I'm going to take all 3 of those weeks. And I'm on my way out to Kansas City to see my aunt and family. I'm going to stop in Denver for a couple of days and see Eric. And I just want to go to a meeting. These are AA meetings, right? Alcoholics Anonymous, or Addicts Anonymous. And we're going to go to meetings, and we're going to catch up, and then we're probably going to go sit at an all-night diner and drink coffee and eat pancakes and eggs and, you know, stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning like we used to do. That will probably kill me now. But it didn't then, and what I'm really seeking is not the coffee and the pancakes and the eggs, it's the ability to speak into his heart. So Eric doesn't feel he deserves peace because, and this was a timely word from both of you very recently, he's not feeling his righteousness. He is a Christian man, but what did Paul say? The kingdom of heaven is not eating and drinking, right? But righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy. There's a progression there, right? And so, how can I speak the awareness of that righteousness back into its proper place in Eric's mind and his heart? I think I know the answer, but I'm still, that's why this is not finished. So, Eric is not feeling his righteousness and is therefore not at peace, certainly joy will never come.
Right.
Right? Except chemically. And that's not where we want to go. So how does righteousness become more real to us than my worldly-induced self-condemning thoughts, which is where he is? He thinks he's going to have to spend the rest of his life in this place. I sent him, when I was texting him, I encouraged him to try to laugh at his sins. Because I've discovered that laughing at my mistakes is good medicine.
Mm-hmm.
It helps me belittle my accuser,
mm-hmm.
is what it does.
Right, that's a good point.
Right?
Yeah.
And I said that, I said, don't worry, Eric, someday you're gonna laugh at this. And he said, oh no, this will, I may learn to come to grips with it someday, but I will never laugh at this. So, why can I laugh at my own sins? Isn't that unhealthy or tempting fate? Here's what goes through my head, and this is why I can laugh at my sins, is this goes through my head right before I laugh. It's like, ha! What an idiot I was. But I'm not like that anymore.
There you go.
Right? What a basket case I still am. Thank God for Jesus. I love you, Jesus. So the core, the crux of the matter, because of Jesus, whether we believe it or not, doesn't change the truth of it. God Most High forgives all because of Jesus. And because I believe it. Not believing it keeps us in jail. Right? Can't escape the unforgivable without it. So I guess I thought where Eric is in his walk right now, I think he feels small and impotent and unimportant. And I want to address that because forgiveness and unforgivability indicates that, speaks to us when we're there that we're not worth it, right? We did something that was too bad, it was too awful, but we are worth it. And I want to start with where we're worth it, with a five senses look at all of reality for us. The universe that we live in, as far as we know, as far as we can tell, is infinite. We can't see the edge of it. It's hard to imagine something that's infinite, but as Blaise Pascal said, it's also even harder to imagine something that is not, a universe that is not infinite. Because then your brain goes, well, what's further than the universe, right? Your brain, it's the way we're wired. It's a godly thought. The sheer magnitude of the creation is overwhelmingly huge. It makes us feel small and insignificant. We are truly tiny specks in the face of an ancient and violent universe. We are like the flower of the grass that blooms today and falls tomorrow, and its place is forgotten. So then, why are we special? What makes us worth it? And the answer is because we are rare. We are precious. We are absolutely unique. And I got some things that I want to say about that, a couple. So, does anybody follow Elle Cordova on YouTube?
No.
Well, I don't know what you call her on YouTube. I would call her an influencer on Facebook, but that's not really what she is. But she posts lots of thoughts.
Say the name again.
Elle Cordova, E-L-L-E, and then Cordova. I can actually show it here later if you want. But this is, it's just a little poem. Whoever you are, I want you to know, of the atoms that make up existence, your particular blend of atoms and quarks has marvelous characteristics. Stars lived and died to put flecks in your eyes. And in eons, we'll never repeat them. How tiny the odds of you being you. And how lucky it was that you beat them. I know, right? It's like, boom. So there's another one I want to sing. And this is, I should sing this, but I'm not going to. This is the Tigger song. The wonderful thing about Tiggers is, Tiggers are wonderful things. Their tops are made out of rubber. Their bottoms are made out of springs. They're flouncy, jouncy, trouncy, bouncy, fun, 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 fun. But the most amazing thing about Tiggers is,
he's the only one.
I'm the only one. I'm
the only one.
Tigger gets it. There was a, you took me to Isaiah 32 last week.
Last week, yeah.
Right. The fruit of righteousness is peace.
Yeah.
But I'm going to read the whole chapter. Oh yeah, here it is. Great. I'm going to start in verse 1. I'm going to stop at verse 6 where he starts speaking about foolishness and scoundrels. And then jump down to 12. And I want you to think about this in the same way that we approached the Song of Solomon when I was teaching that, right? What, do you remember what I said about the song applies not only to the Torah, which is how conventional Judaism sees it. Some more progressive Jews would call it a letter to Israel, a love letter to Israel. The church sees it as the church, and the bridegroom is Jesus. And I spoke to you about you are the bride. You individually are the bride, and the bridegroom is the Lord. So, and all of those are correct, right? All of those are right. And this, the same thing, right? We can look at it through the lens of Israel. We can look at it through the lens of the church. We can look at it through the lens of you individually. So, let's read that. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule in justice. Each will be like a hiding place from the wind, a shelter from the storm, like streams of water in a dry place, like the shade of a great rock in a weary land. Then the eyes of those who see will not be closed. And the ears of those who hear will give attention. The heart of the hasty will understand and know, and the tongue of the stammerers will hasten to speak with distinction. The fool will no longer be called. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to talk about the fools. I'm going to go down here to 12. Beat your breasts for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine, for the soil of my people, growing up in thorns and briars. Yes, for all the joyous houses in the exalted city, For the palace is forsaken, the populous city deserted, and the hill and the watchtower will become dens forever. A joy of wild donkeys, a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high. Think Acts chapter 2. Lost my place.
15.
And the wilderness becomes a fruitful field. And the fruitful field is deemed a forest. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness abide in the fruitful field. And the effect of righteousness will be peace. And the result of righteousness, quietness and trust forever. My people will abide in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. And it will hail when the forest falls down, and the city will be utterly laid low. Happy are you who sow beside all waters, who let the feet of the ox and the donkey range free. So there are like three or four interesting messages here, and I can't point to a particular one. It's still a jumble in my head. But the idea of the land as the people, the field as the nation, right? The idea of growing up thorns and briars. What are those thorns and briars, right? Sin awareness, unforgiveness, shame, corruption, right? The things that Eric is struggling with. So Eric actually has the benefit of living after the pouring out of the Spirit. Just have to turn the light on for Eric. And Holy Spirit, that's your job. I will speak, but you're the one who has to turn the light on for Eric. Have you guys seen the YouTube video of the practice that blue angels do before they go fly?
Mm-hmm.
You seen what it looks like? Everybody's sitting around a table, right? They're sitting in a conference room, and the whole team is practicing as number one blue angel is directing. What have you seen it, Linda? You're looking at me like you haven't seen. Okay, I've got a link here. It is fascinating. What they're doing, everybody has their eyes closed. They actually are simulating. They've got a stick on the throttle and a stick on the throttle and a stick, hand on the stick, a hand on the throttle. And you can see them, they're actually doing, according to what the leader is saying, they're making moves with the stick. They're imagining that they're flying, right? So, the power of my imagination, the power of right thinking in my life brings me out of the jail that I tend to sit in without. Equally true, the power of negative thinking, the power of shame in my life, keeps me in jail. So, how do I move from just occurred to me, right? When Paul and Silas were in jail, they were singing, and the walls fell down.
They came back.
Holy Spirit, teach me that
song. Mm-hmm. That's a good
question. I want to learn that song. What is that song? I think I know what that song is.
In the walls of Jericho, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good point.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, that song, this is one of the things that Mike Bickle used to stress, that when you pray the word back to God.
Mm-hmm.
God, you said, Therefore I say, and hear me, Lord. So, here's what I'm going to say. Does anybody know the little robot poem, little robot song? I have a little robot that goes around with me. I tell it what I'm thinking. I tell it what I see. I tell my little robot all my hopes and fears. It listens and remembers everything it hears. At first, my little robot followed my commands. But after years of training, it's gotten out of hand. It doesn't matter what's right or wrong or what is false or true. No matter what I try now, it tells me what to do. So, how do I get out of the prison and doing the right things rather than staying, having my little robot tell me what to do all the time, right? Self-talk, new habits, praying the word, and I'm teaching myself here, right? I was sitting in that chair right there about 30 minutes ago thinking about how I don't pray enough. And it's true. So prayer is going to increase. So I was working on this yesterday, and I think the Holy Spirit put this in my brain. And this is a message for Eric. Anticipating AA meetings with Eric while I'm in Denver, followed by pancakes, eggs, and coffee in Denny's or diners. And I expect to catch up. I expect to laugh and cry with him. And I'm going to tell him, Eric, there's something I need to tell you that's important. And then I'm going to contradict myself and tell you something that's even more important. If I could forgive you for the thing that you think you've done, I would do it right here and now and free you from your prison. But I can't do that. It's not up to me. You have to forgive yourself in order to move on to righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And this is true. However, this following contradictory thing is also true, and even more important. I have the authority of Christ to act on his behalf. Of this I have no doubt. That is scripture. As a high priest of God Most High, and as a vessel that holds the holiness of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, I can tell you with complete confidence that you are forgiven. No if, no and, no but, no maybe. So then what's the problem? You don't believe it. You are stuck in that place and you will remain there until something shakes you loose. And that is my prayer for you. God, shake him loose. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And here is a gift for you. This is what I'm going to give him. Anybody read this?
C.S. Lewis.
C.S. Lewis, Surprised by Joy.
I haven't read it.
I'm going to give it to him. It's basically Mr. Dr. Lewis's. It's the shape of my early life. It's about, quote unquote, stabs of joy while he was an unbeliever. And what he discovered was, stabs of joy. He would try to do the thing that he was doing that brought on the stab of joy, and so he would pursue these things, and the stabs of joy would grow less frequent and less
impactful,
and he couldn't understand why. And this is about that. The stabs of joy, he determines, and about three quarters of the way through, are actually stabs of holiness, awareness of holiness, of something completely other than, right, the place that he was living. And so this I'm going to give to Eric in hope that he may find joy again, which we know depends on peace, depends on righteousness. His path, of course, will be different from C.S. Lewis's. But joy springs from holiness. Holiness brings righteousness. Holiness brings peace. Holiness brings joy. And that is on its way. Come on, shake it. So that's where I'm going
to
stop.
Bringing up the shaking too, and you brought up the laughter. It kind of reminded me of something that dancing, like physical representation. We have spiritual representations and physical representations. And I know, I believe it was David, I might be mixing up the name, but he danced until his clothes came off. And
that was definitely David.
Okay, I was like, I'm pretty sure. So sometimes to accept, like, so for example, worship is a prophecy that what God is doing is real in the moment. Even if you're not feeling that worship, just being an act of that worship is something that's showing God is good, God is here, God's, you know, in the future, God is happening, God is now, God was, you know. And so dancing would be an immediate physical, like, I'm giving this up, I'm shaking this off. So something kind of came to me of that, of like just laughing and dancing. Like, there's, yes, you do have to go in that order to some extent, but why not just jump to joy? Why not just dance for God? Why not just let it go? Because that could be something that, well, that brings your righteousness, which brings your, you know, and so you, even though there is an order to it, maybe there's, I mean, God is good, so it's like, it's just do God's will. It's like the song they're singing here of like, all I did was worship, all I did was kneel, all I did was pray, you know, those kind of things. So dancing, I don't know, that just stuck with me with the way you're saying to,
that's exactly
to
right.
shake
right.
off.
Some of us, me included though, can't jump straight to joy because I haven't practiced enough, right? Those neuronal pathways are weak, right? And so we have to practice, right? And that practicing, that, thank God for the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah.
Thank God for the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. Lord, I lift up Eric to you. I lift up everyone who heard these ideas, and I ask you for, let them root. Lord, let those ideas root in my heart, in my brain, and let the fruit of their rooting be something that Eric can eat and take sustenance, nourishment for. And not just Eric, Lord, but everybody here who hears. And everybody that I can speak to about this, Lord, I just pray that this would grow in me for the rest of my life and that it would produce fruit for whoever needs to eat it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.